In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.
The biggest reason why women become addicted to drugs or alcohol is depression. Or you could say grief if you were wanting to use a more biblical term. The biggest reason for men is anxiety. And if you read what the fathers have to say about the fall, they say that both of these things are the specific burden that men and women bear as a result of the fall. When God cursed Eve, he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children." And he said to Adam, "In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." The common curse that both men and women share is death as a result of the fall. Now, this is not to say that men don't suffer grief or that women don't suffer from anxiety, but that these are the unique, specific burdens that they share. But in Christ's resurrection, Christ annulled the curse of both Adam and Eve. The events of the day of Christ's resurrection are full of fear, excitement, and joy. And when you read the various accounts in the Gospels, you'll find that the details don't neatly fit together. And this is not because there's anything that's false in these accounts, but that each of these accounts differ in the details that they provide, and they also differ in how specific they are, how precise they are in terms of the references that they make. But there's nothing that's falsely said. But when you read these accounts, you're going to see some differing details, and that should not bother you. You should just simply understand that the different evangelists wanted to emphasize different points. But the tradition of the church does provide us with some way of piecing these things together and also provide some additional details. If you look at the references to the women who are present with Christ at the cross and also the women who came to the tomb, you find various names that are mentioned in different places. Only in the Gospel of John do you find any mention of the Lord's mother. And you shouldn't assume, of course, that this is because the other apostles were unaware of her presence. When you read the Gospels, you find that there are many cryptic things in some of the synoptic Gospels. And different scholars have pointed out that there seems to be some intent to hide the identity of certain people in some cases. For example, when you read the Synoptic Gospels, we're told that one of the disciples cut off one of the soldiers who came to arrest Christ's ear. But we're not told which apostle that was that did that. Only in the Gospel of John are we told that it was the Apostle Peter. We know from tradition that the Gospel of John was written last. And so by the time that the Gospel of John was written, Peter had already been martyred. And so there was no longer any concern. But the possibility that Peter might have been arrested for hacking off the ear of a soldier was a very real thing. And so the first Gospel writers concealed that detail. Also, when you read the Gospel of John, you see how important the raising of Lazarus was in terms of why the Pharisees and Sadducees decided to slay Christ, and yet you find no specific mention of the raising of Lazarus in the Synoptic Gospels. And this is no doubt because when those Gospels were written, Lazarus was still alive, and there was a desire to shield him from undue attention, because in the Gospel of John we're told that they were already plotting to kill Lazarus as well. And so there was no desire to bring attention to this man who had been dead and had been brought back to life in such a dramatic fashion. Well, likewise, in the Synoptic Gospels, we don't hear a lot of mention about the Virgin Mary after Christ's birth. We find a little bit more of it mentioned in the Gospel of John, and that's because by the time the Gospel of John was written, she also had reposed. And so these details are different, but they're different for different reasons, and not because one gospel was unaware of something or that the gospels contradict. But tradition tells us that not only was the Theotokos present at the cross, but she was also among the myrrh-bearing women. The Lord's mother was certainly a woman who was acquainted with the curse of Eve, specifically having experienced great grief. After Christ was born, when she took Christ to the temple after 40 days, she was told by the elder Simeon, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." This was a prophecy about the grief that she would experience. And she suffered this grief throughout the life of her son. No doubt she suffered greatly when she saw that Christ was so often reviled and rejected by people. But none of that could compare with the grief that she would have experienced when she saw her son beaten, spit upon, and crucified. But in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told about the myrrh-bearing women who came to the tomb first. And one thing that the fathers tell us, specifically St. Gregory Palamas says, that the Gospels mention the various myrrh-bearing women in different places together, but that we shouldn't assume that they all arrived at the same time together, and we also should not assume that they all left at the same time together. And that's one of the reasons why some of these details seem to be contradictory when in fact they're not, because they're talking about these women generally speaking. But according to St. Gregory Palamas, the earliest myrrh-bearing women that were there at the tomb were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of the Lord. But that Mary Magdalene did not depart after they had the vision of the angel. But the Gospel of Matthew tells it this way. It says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week," and what this means is this is the time of morning when you're just beginning to see a little bit of light on the horizon, but it's still dark. It says, "Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." Now, according to tradition, this angel wasn't just an anonymous angel. This was the Archangel Gabriel. And the Virgin Mary would have recognized him because a little bit more than three decades prior to this event, she saw that very same archangel who announced to her that she would be the mother of the Lord. In the Paschal services, one of the most striking hymns that we hear is the hymn "The Angel Cried," and that's what that hymn is all about. It's about that first encounter that the Virgin Mary had with the Archangel Gabriel. And the hymn goes, "The angel cried unto her that is full of grace, Rejoice, O pure virgin, and again I say, rejoice, for thy son is risen from the grave on the third day and hath raised the dead. O ye people, be joyful." And then the Gospel of Matthew continues, and it said, "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now, what the tradition tells us about this is that that Mary Magdalene was not with the other women at this point. We don't know exactly how many women were with the Mother of God at this particular point. But in the Gospel of John, we're told about Mary Magdalene's encounter with Christ later on. And we're told that when she tried to touch the Lord, that the Lord said, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father." And here we're told about women holding the Lord by the feet. And what St. Gregory Palamas says about this is that it wasn't just any women, it wasn't even more than one woman that actually held the Lord's feet. It was his mother. Because of all the myrrh-bearing women, she was the first to really understand what was going on, and she was the one that understood the meaning of the resurrection, whereas at the particular point when Christ encountered Mary Magdalene, we're told by the fathers that her thoughts were still earthly, and she still, at that point, did not fully realize what it was that she had seen. But note the first word that Christ said to the myrrh-bearing women, rejoice. In the King James Bible, the way it's translated is, it's all hail, because that word in Greek was a common greeting, and so they translated it in a way that would convey that point that it was a greeting. But the word literally in Greek is rejoice. And the fathers placed great importance upon this, because this was the annulling of the curse of Eve, that sorrow, that grief, was turned to joy. And the Kentuckian, for the myrrh-bearing women that we heard today, were told that the lamentation of our first mother Eve ceased when they heard the word rejoice. Also, we're told that the very first word that Christ spake to the apostles was the word peace, because the anxiety of men, that burden that they bear to provide, that burden that they bear to be a leader, to perform, to do for those that are around them, weighs heavily upon men. And that's why some men, because they have difficulties in life, they have unexpected things, they maybe lose their job, they're unable to provide for their families, it can be a very crushing burden for them. But Christ said to the apostles who had failed him, who had failed to show the courage that they had promised him that they would show, he said, peace. He undid the curse of Adam. In the Kentuckian for Pascha, we're told, thou didst descend into the tomb, O immortal, thou didst destroy the power of death. In victory didst thou arise, O Christ God, proclaiming rejoice to the myrrh-bearing women, granting peace to thine apostles, and bestowing resurrection on the fallen. If you've experienced grief, loss, sorrow, if you've been hurt, what Christ is saying to you is rejoice. The resurrection brings hope. It brings healing. It brings restoration to you. If you've been weary and heavy laden, as Christ says elsewhere in the gospel, come unto Christ and he will give you rest, because he grants us all peace. And he bestows upon all of us resurrection. No longer need we fear death, for Christ is risen from the dead. Amen.